You're listening to Classical IPR, Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell, and this hour we're delighted to welcome the Atlantic Harp Duo to Studio B. They are Marta Power. Hi, Marta.
Hi.
And Elizabeth Jackson. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
And they'll be performing twice in Northern Michigan in the next couple of days at the Music House Museum in Williamsburg tomorrow and at Interlochen Center for the Arts on Thursday. We'll be chatting with them about those programs and also about their brand new album. Well, let's start by talking about the two of you for a minute, and we'll listen to some music from this new album. You two have been working together as a duo since 2006. So how did you first get together as a duo?
Well, we were studying together in Paris in Isabelle Perrin's class at the École Normale de Musique. And we had both actually played in duos and harp duos before. Since we found each other in the same harp studio, and we just decided to keep playing harp duos with each other.
And I mean, I'd be hard pressed to name many more harp duos that are out there. What made you decide to combine your instruments in this way?
Yeah, you're right. In fact, harp is already quite a rare instrument, so there's not even a lot of harpists out there, and harp duos even less so. But we just found that by combining our two instruments together, we were able to achieve so much more than just one harp could achieve, with so many more colors and different voices in our arrangements and our music.
Yeah, we say, you know, two harps are better than one. There's also sort of a thought process that goes into creating a duo. Often you want to have either two instruments that are very different in color and tone, you know, like a harmonic instrument, like a piano or a guitar, with a melodic instrument that has a more bright color. And so often you see harp and flute duets. And we were really drawn to the idea of, there's a lot of pieces that a single harp might really struggle to play just because of the technique of playing the pieces on one instrument, so many pedal changes or not enough fingers to play all the notes at the same time. And if you can just basically have one instrument that's been amplified by a second instrument next to it, and where you can split up the tasks, it opens up a whole new world of repertoire we could play.
And even though the two of you met in Paris and you're still based there, you both have roots in the Great Lakes region here. So tell us about where you grew up.
Yeah, so we're both from America originally. I grew up in Illinois, and my family is still based in the Chicago area.
And I,
Marta, you're a little closer to home here,
closer,
I think.
Yeah, I grew up in Traverse City, was born and raised here. I actually even did many summers here out at Interlochen at camp, I think 6 or 7 summers. Went to school in Traverse City and studied harp locally with Sylvia Norris, who's our wonderful harpist in Traverse City. And so I'm always happy to come home and play in the region.
And the two of you have this new album, and it features music that many listeners are probably already familiar with, but then it also has several new works that were written just for you. And we're going to listen to some of both here this hour. Let's start with one of the more familiar works, The Empress of the Pagodas, from Maurice Ravel's Mother Goose Suite. And like a number of Ravel's works, this was written for piano, and he later orchestrated it. And I think it's been arranged for just about every combination mm-hmm. of instruments you could possibly
yeah.
imagine.
We actually, there's several harp arrangements out there already, but we decided to do our own. So we looked at the piano four hands version, also at the orchestral score. We tried to keep as much of the original harp part from the orchestra as possible, and really inspired sort of our choices of how we were going to split up the two harp parts from these two original scores.
Yeah. And some pieces written for the piano translate relatively well to the harp without much, but others, I understand, they just don't work. So
no.
Is this one that required some translation of sorts?
Yes, especially for the more chromatic parts of this suite. It can get quite tricky with the pedals that we have to change while we're playing. But the piece that you're about to hear, I think, works very, very well on the harp as well.
Great. Well, here is The Empress of the Pagodas from Maurice Ravel's Mother Goose Suite. an arrangement by and a performance by our guests today, the Atlantic Harp Duo. We heard music of Maurice Ravel from the Mother Goose Suite, The Empress of the Pagodas, performed by the Atlantic Harp Duo. That's from their new album, Ariadne Rediviva. I'm Amanda Sewell, and the Atlantic Harp Duo, Elizabeth Jackson and Marta Power, are joining me here today live in IPR's Studio B. And this new album is so fascinating for a number of reasons. One, because it mixes very familiar pieces, like what we just heard, with some brand new ones. And two, many of those new pieces were commissions. They were written specifically for the two of you. So tell us a little bit about the conception of this album, Ariadne Rediviva.
Okay, well, this was... the music on this album comes from a show that we originally put together and created for the World Harp Congress in 2014 in Sydney, Australia. And the theme behind the show is that we're telling the life story of Ariadne, who's a figure from Greek mythology. And many people may have heard of Ariadne, especially from her most famous story of being abandoned on the Isle of Naxos. But she also appears in other Greek stories. And people may not realize that these stories are connected and it all speaks about one person. So we thought it would be really interesting to tell her life story in chronological order.
Right. So other stories that happen in her life, she's the daughter of King Minos. Her half-brother is the Minotaur, who of course lives in the labyrinth. Her lover is Theseus, the Athenian hero, and he's the one who abandons her on the Isle of Naxos. So there's just tons of pieces written throughout musical history on that one specific moment, her lament when she realizes she's been abandoned by this guy that she loves, and what's going to become of her and all this. And then she's saved by Bacchus, who comes down and falls in love with her, and they get married. But of course, as she's mortal and he's immortal, she eventually dies, and he throws her nuptial crown up in the sky, and it becomes the constellation, the crown of Ariadne. So all of these episodes put together create the one life of this mythological princess that we wanted to show in music.
And you tell that musically over about an hour in the way that you've just shared it with us. And yes, as you said, a number of other familiar mythological characters show up. Let's talk about the piece about Bacchus, because he's a fun guy and he knows how to have a good time. Yeah. And he's kind of the good guy in this story as well, because he comes to her rescue. The piece is called Bacchus by Damien Luce, and you commissioned that for this album. How does he convey Bacchus musically in this piece?
Well, Bacchus is, of course, the god of wine and revelry. And so it's a very joyous piece. You can hear dancing in it.
Damien uses a lot of sort of polyrhythms and polytonality. So where like one harp will be playing in a certain meter and another harp will be playing at the same time in a different meter. So it gives you at the same time a sense of instability, like you might have when you're dancing around drunk, you know? but that all sort of works in the end. He does the same thing with tonality. One harp will be in a certain key and another harp will be another, and it all sort of works out in the end.
Yeah. So it sounds like a party.
Yeah, but it's a really well-structured piece too. Damien knows the harp very well, and so he was able to bring out a lot of colors. He uses a lot of harmonics, which is where you muffle the string halfway down the string and pluck the top half. So it gives this very ringy, completely different tone from what happens when you play the string normally. So that's just one color that he brings.
Let's listen to Bacchus, music of Damien Luce from the new album Ariadne Rediviva by our guests, the Atlantic Harp Duo. Thank you.
Thank you.
the Atlantic Harp Duo with Bacchus, a piece they commissioned from composer Damien Luce for their brand new album. I'm Amanda Sewell, and the Atlantic Harp Duo, Elizabeth Jackson and Marta Power, are joining me here today live in IPR's Studio B. And let's talk about this album for a second. It was crowdfunded, as one does these days, and it had a lot of support from folks in this region. So tell us a little bit about the fundraising efforts behind this.
Right. So back when we were first putting together this show, there's just a lot that needs to go into commissioning the new pieces. And we also commissioned artwork that went along with the show. And people might not realize exactly what goes into that, but we were able to draw all the financial support that we needed from our fan base, our family, our friends, and we're so thankful for the support of people both in this area, both also in my area back in Chicago. And that's really one of the biggest things that made this possible for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's deeply rooted in your families here in the Great Lakes region.
Yeah.
As well. Now, you two are on tour right now promoting the new album. You'll be making stops tomorrow at the Music House Museum in Williamsburg and Thursday back here at Interlochen Center for the Arts. The tour is called Myths, Fables, and Fairy Tales. And I understand it's going to be much more than just the two of you playing your harps. Not that that wouldn't be perfectly sufficient in and of itself. But so tell us about these recitals, how they're shaped.
Right, we wanted to do something that was more than just a normal recital. We wanted to give the audience a more immersive experience.
And basically, so our whole storytelling concept came from this Ariadne show that we had, that we sort of condensed a little bit to be the second half of our current show. And we decided, well, what else can we include that would continue this this feeling of communication with the audience that's completely different than when you're just sitting behind your harp and playing? So we really wanted to be able to tell more stories because we enjoyed that storytelling aspect very much. And so we decided to go into fairy tales with the Mother Goose suite that we had transcribed before and add some fables by La Fontaine, which are like morality tales.
Right, so the first half of our program starts out with those fables and fairy tales, and we tell the stories ourselves to the audience and also intersperse that with the music so you can hear it come alive in the music.
And then the second half is telling of Ariadne.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to another piece from the new album, and folks can hear you play this piece live this week. It's another one you commissioned, and it's from composer Caroline Lizotte. It's called Sultantum, there we go, Dancing Stars. And there's a lot going on in this piece. Can you break it down for us?
Yeah, so this piece was commissioned, like we said, for the album, for the show. And we chose to have our final piece. It's the final moment when Ariadne, who is mortal, dies, and Bacchus throws her crown up into the sky, and it becomes this constellation. So it's the final closing piece of the show, and we chose Caroline Lizotte, who is this wonderful Canadian harpist. She's already composed for Harp Duo before. She writes a lot for harp, and she just really takes a completely different take. She doesn't limit herself to simple harp notes. She adds percussion or singing, or will write for electric harp, or string little pieces of paper between the strings, or play with a metal spoon or whatever. I mean, she just really looks for different sounds that you can make with the harp.
Because she's the harpist herself, she knows the instrument so intimately, and she really is so playful and creative with how she explores what it can do.
And most of those effects you just listed off, most of those appear in this piece.
Yes, so it's quite challenging to play in the sense that you're sitting behind your harp and you've got this whole array of percussion around you, especially for Elizabeth in this piece. Mm-hmm. She's got chimes, and my harp is electric, or it's supposed to be for electric harp and acoustic harp, but since I don't have an electric harp, I amplify it so that it comes out to having the same sound quality. And her idea was that she wanted to really bring out the difference between sort of terrestrial and celestial, between mortal and immortal. So we have these two harps that have two different sounds. At some point, I sing into the back of the harp. Elizabeth also does singing at the mm-hmm. same time.
Yeah, and when Marta sings into the back of the harp, because it's an amplified harp, it has such a wonderful otherworldly quality to it.
So we're going to hear the recording of this now, but it sounds like folks might need to come hear it live to really yeah. get the full effect of everything that you're doing with the instruments. Here is Stelle Saltantum by composer Caroline Lizotte from the new album Ariadne Rediviva by our guests, the Atlantic Harp Duo. Thank you. the Atlantic Harp Duo. Oh, the wind chimes are still going. I came in too early. I'm sorry. With Stelle Saltantem, a piece they commissioned from composer Carlene Lizotte for their brand new album, Ariadne Rediviva. I'm Amanda Sewell, and the Atlantic Harp Duo, Elizabeth Jackson and Marta Power, are with us today live in IPR's Studio B. How was it for you two singing on this track?
Oh, it was a new adventure for us because we're definitely trained as harpists, but not as singers. So it was a little bit scary at first, I have to admit.
Definitely. You feel sort of like you're having your first harp recital all over again. You know,
you get all nervous. Yeah.
It's particularly difficult singing in the harp because you're in this really awkward position with your neck to get your face into the first hole and back. And so it's not even conducive to having nice breathing technique and whatnot. So at least I feel like I get to hide behind the harp a little bit at first.
And I mean, I think it's fair to say that even though the recording of that piece is great, I think it'd be really amazing to see it in person because you're singing, you're playing wind chimes, you have all of these really neat,
it's quite a show,
different effects you're doing. Well, folks, you'll have two opportunities to hear the Atlantic Harp Duo here in Northern Michigan this week. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Music House Museum in Williamsburg, and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. in the New Music Center here at Interlochen Center for the Arts. You can find links to more information about these performances on our website at classicalipr.org. Well, in just a moment, you'll be able to find those when I post this interview online. Well, let's play you out here with one more selection from your new album. How about one from the WC collection, the Ancient Epigraphs? I was following your translations in this, since you're both fluent in French. I should trust your translations of these works more than mine, I suppose. This is For a Nameless Tomb, or Pour un Tombeau sans Nom.
Very good.
Yeah, I'll let you guys take it there. Okay, I will confess I'm a big geek, and one reason I picked this one is because it's based on the whole tone scale. I'm sure there's other things you enjoy about this piece as well.
Yes, it has a great sort of spooky atmosphere, which is really quite appropriate for this time of year, Halloween coming up and all.
Yeah, this is a good coincidence.
Yeah.
And WC loves octatonic scales and whole tone scales. Now, how do those mechanically on the harp, is that...
The whole tone scale works just fine as long as you don't leave it too often. The harp, with the way the mechanism is set up, is that we don't do chromaticism very fast, just because you have to move the pedals so quickly and take a lot into account. So this piece, which really doesn't have a lot of modulations in it, works really well on harp, I think, because you've got the whole ringiness too. That's quite appropriate for the tomb theme that goes with it.
Well, Marta Power and Elizabeth Jackson are the Atlantic Harp Duo. Thank you both so much for joining us today here at Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This is For a Nameless Tomb, music of Claude Debussy from his Ancient Epigraphs and performed by the Atlantic Harp Duo.
Thank you.
for A Nameless Tomb, music of Claude Debussy from his Ancient Epigraphs, performed by the Atlantic Harp Duo here on Classical IPR, Interlaken Public Radio.